hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry, we're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master, and as promised, I got off our Explorer Ventures liveaboard off the island of St. Kitts, hopped on a dive boat, joined my buddy Neil Watson and his assistant Anna Lynn, and here I am in Nevis. And you're going to hear all about the diving here on this beautiful tropical island. Really, first off, thanks to my friend Neil Watson. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Greg. Are we having fun or what?
Yeah, well, as always, you know, Neil called me up literally about a week before we left on our little Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise to Saba, and he said, Greg, I got this new property on the island of St. Kitts and Nevis. If you can spend a couple extra days on the tail end of your trip, would you be interested in joining me to, you know, scope out the properties and dive operators and that kind of thing? And I said, Neil, only because it's you, and I know your reputation and eye for talent and great destinations to go for diving, did I commit. And once again, you've lived up to the hype, my friend.
You know, I can't thank you enough for extending your time to spend a few more days in paradise. I mean, spare me, Greg.
The sacrifices I'm willing to make for our listeners sometimes even amaze me. Really, it's more of just a matter of I can't believe I get away with this. But it's an amazing thing to be able to spend some quality time with Mr. Neil Watson, let alone above water here on the island of Nevis, but down below. And we're going to talk about some of the dives we did off the coast of St. Kitts, actually in between St. Kitts and Nevis. But we got some people we got to talk to here first that made this whole thing possible, or you got to know, and then you kind of steered me in their direction. Is that right, Neil?
That's correct. Well, I met John Yearwood at DEMA last year, and we sat down, and believe it or not, over coffee, not cocktails, and you know, I've heard so much about this island, and you know, I can't believe I haven't been here. But they say you save the best for last, and so John's been inviting me down, and Alice, I met with Alice that has a dive operation, and said, you got to come down, you got to touch it, feel it, see it, do it. And I started researching John and his brother a little bit, and they've got a little history on the island, and let them fill you in.
All right, John, is that true, a little history here on Nevis, or what?
Well, Greg, you can hear in the background, your pina colada is ready.
Now, is it a pina colada or margarita or, well, you know, anything frozen and icy and is ideal here on the island. And we're sitting in paradise overlooking the bay here that literally sits between Nevis and St. Kitts. It is easy to understand why you have picked this as your place of residence, I'm guessing. Is that right, John?
Well, thanks. But actually, I didn't pick it. What happened in about 1650, my ancestors were kicked out of England, you know. So they had to go somewhere, you know.
Yeah, and so they sent you here, and you've been here since, well, your ancestors started here when?
So, yeah, 1650, nothing much was going on in the Caribbean. The only way of making a living was piracy, you know. So I'm afraid we indulge in that.
Okay. You got a little pirate in your blood, sweet.
Well, yeah, we still do the same thing now. We call it tourism now.
That's okay, all right, sweet. Okay, bring the tourists in, hit them up for a tip or two, and charge an extra buck for a pina colada. You're good to go, right?
You got it.
But it's well worth the price for admission. I mean, just the view with your pina colada is quite impressive here. So you grew up here, then you've lived here your whole life, and you had no reason to ever leave, I'm guessing, right?
Well, I wish that were true, but when you grow up on a small island, you get claustrophobic after a while. So like most teenagers, I actually left. I went to England for a while, and then 10 years around the world, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, West Africa. And then my younger brother, Alistair here, he came up with the idea to build this little shack on the beach and, you know, serve rum punch and teach the pretty girls how to windsurf. So he built it.
Yeah, he talked you into coming back. Said, really, it's much better here.
Well, not really.
he didn't talk you into what he needed money. Is that it? Or
well, I was out there in those days. I was working for the World Bank as an economist, making a fortune. You know.
So he did need money, is what you're saying?
Well, no. Well, initially to build the place, but then the bugger went and met this pretty English girl, and sent me a telegram in West Africa saying, getting married, going back to college, where do I leave the keys?
So he wanted you to take over the property so he could go live a little bit.
Exactly, yeah.
I gotcha. Okay, and the rest is history. And Alistair, I'll let you pick up the story where he left off. Is that right up until now, or did he embellish it with a little Caribbean flair there?
Well, actually, he's very, very low-key, because we opened this place on... For some reason, in 1979, we thought it was a good idea to put the first bar on a beach in Nevis. And so our claim to fame is we built the first establishment with a flushing toilet on the island of Nevis. And I literally became the first beach bum.
Nice, okay.
It's something I'm very proud of.
Yeah, well, as you should be. Are we literally standing on that property of the first bar, or has it moved over time?
We're actually standing about 10 feet away from the bar.
All right, nice.
We're in the garden.
Okay, we're in the garden right now, where it originally started.
Yeah, man, it was a very small property. I used to live in the storeroom, which is on the end over there.
Yeah.
Right off table 6.
That sounds like a beach bum, then. So that's very appropriate combinations for a beach bum. But, hey, you started it in paradise, it looks like to me.
Yeah, well, actually, and it was slightly different. It started in the 2nd of January, 1980. And we opened with, I think we had... two frying pans that had lost their handles that I found in the bottom of one of my mom's cupboards. We opened with a waitress was wearing a bikini and roller skates. So we started with a roller skating waitress. Now, obviously, the place has changed a lot since then.
Yeah, where's the bikini? I've seen the bikini. I haven't seen any roller skates. You lost those over the years?
Unfortunately, the island has become there far more regulations. So actually wouldn't be allowed now for health reasons.
Oh, okay, yeah. OSHA would step in and take care of business or something. Yeah, well, I like it. So the name of this resort we're at is Owali. Right, Owali Beach Resort. Did I say it correctly?
You did. You have to think French. O-U. So O-U-A-L-I, Owali. That was actually the original inhabitants, the Arawak and Caribbeans. That was their name for the island.
Okay, and Owali means beautiful water, is what I was told. Is that just marketing or what?
No, it's true. I wasn't there, so I can't vouch for it. But I think it refers to the fact that... Nevis also had the first resort in the Caribbean, which was the Bath Hotel. I think it was in 1780, somewhere around there. And it was built around a spa, which is a hot springs full of minerals and reputed to have tremendous curative qualities. And so I think they were referring to those waters.
Oh, I see. Okay, the volcanic minerals and all that kind of thing. Yeah, they got the hot springs thing, similar to what we've talked about before in islands like Dominica. But it's picturesque. And we've toured the island. We're going to talk about some of that stuff here as we continue throughout today's broadcast, because it is quite impressive. But there is a ton of history here on the island of Nevis compared to other islands, because it was settled, what, so long ago? Is that the deal there, Alistair?
Yeah, well, St. Kitts was the first British colony in the Caribbean, and Nevis is only, they're only 2.5 miles separating it, so it was settled pretty early on as well. The other thing about Nevis is we've never boomed. We've had very gradual development on the island, and so it's really one of the few islands left where you can get an authentic Caribbean experience, and I think you'll feel that when you go around the island. We don't have McDonald's.
No KFC on Nevis.
No. and we haven't succumbed to the Disney color scheme yet that you see in a lot of the cruise ship ports.
Right.
So literally, and the people you meet, they're genuine. I think that's one of the things about Nevis. Navisions wear their emotions on their sleeve, so when you get a smile, it's real. If they're not too happy, you know about it.
Yeah, you hear about it, huh?
It's not
afraid to share their emotions here on Nevis, or their booze, as we found out last night. But that's a good thing. That's part of the whole Caribbean experience, and you know that is what we have strived to find here time and time again on our little broadcast here with Scuba Radio, is go to those places where it's an adventure. And the thing about Nevis, what little time we've spent on the island so far, what I've seen is that you have all the amenities of a really nice hotel. The food is top notch. This is really an excellent getaway. But it is, you feel like you're out in the Caribbean. You're out at a destination where you're, as soon as you arrive to your property here from the little ferry that we took across from St. Kitts, you're like, hey, this is like the home of Jimmy Buffett or something, right?
He should be so lucky.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. And I don't know, Alistair, maybe you can help me out. I keep hearing, or I've heard this story before about a couple of years ago, that Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones was on Nevis, and this is where he fell out of the coconut tree and broke his head open.
Well, unfortunately, I wasn't there to witness it, but I'm not going to argue with you.
Okay, you'll go with that story. All right, that's good. Hey, you've spoken like a true Caribbean. And by the way, do you dive? Do you enjoy some of the diving here? Are you more of a boater, windsurfer, what? Beach bum, obviously, so you're a surfer guy, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I love the ocean, and I will confess that I was actually Ellis's first student, and he managed to certify me, which means he can certify anybody.
Really? Is that good?
I'll tell you what, from the moment I put the gear on, I'll admit it now, I got kind of scared, okay?
Yeah, a little nervous, like what, sharks, that kind of thing, whatever?
No, just paranoia.
This is crazy.
Absolutely, okay? And I say he got me through the whole process. I have dived, I can dive, but I'm not an avid diver. But I do understand why people get completely addicted to it.
Yeah, it's easy.
Yeah, I do understand that. And I'd say if it had been anybody else, I wouldn't have gone past day one. Right, but he's bigger than me, right? And he took my arm and he put it in a hammer lock and got it up around my right earlobe.
Yeah, and you had no choice.
I
get in the water. Nice. Well, you know, we're going to talk to Ellis here next on the big show. Scuba Safaris is the dive operation at Owali Beach Resort, and we're going to learn about that. Some of the other properties here on the island of Nevis. I'm telling you, this is truly spectacular. Once again, Neil Watson, you've outdid yourself.
Hey, man, am I having fun? We're having fun.
Of course. We're sitting out at the bar in literally paradise on the island of Nevis. And this is evidently the place where a coconut fell on Keith Richards and broke his head open. He went to the hospital. I don't know. It's a great story. I'm going with it and I'm sticking with it. More coming up on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. I am in Nevis. I'm on the island of Nevis looking out over the bay. There's boats. There's people hanging out on the beach just kicking back on an afternoon. Beautiful, picturesque. You know, it's paradise. This is absolute paradise. No question about it. And by the way, St. Kitts is just across the way, 2 miles away via water. You'll find Nevis. St. Kitts and Nevis is kind of like under the same national flag, I believe, or some British colony, something, but they're kind of one and the same. Right, Neil?
Yeah, you know, what is so amazing is the diversity of the two islands. You know, usually you have to get on a plane and fly a couple of hours to get from one destination to another that is diversified as these two islands. Here it's like a 20-minute boat ride, and it's like, you know, it's like 2 miles away, a world of difference. I mean, it truly is incredibly different.
Yeah, St. Kitts kind of like the big city, and Nevis like a smaller out-island neighborhood kind of thing, I guess. Maybe look at it that way. They have a cruise ship terminal in St. Kitts and a bigger airport and that kind of thing. Go across the way via ferry, and that's a boat, by the way. And you get here on Nevis to enjoy some of the diving. And in our case, we actually dove on our way over. So they picked us up on the dive boat. We did a couple sights on our way over to the island. And Ellis is with us from Scuba Safaris here in Nevis. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, not too bad. How are you going, Greg?
Good. He's doing good because he's been having this, what is this, Hammer? Have you been drinking Hammer this afternoon?
Or no? It's called, but no, I haven't. Not yet.
It's not Hammer time yet?
Not yet, no.
Okay, but before the end of the show, I have heard it could be Hammer time. And that means you put on big britches and dance around on the table or something?
No, I have the britches on already.
Okay, all right. He's well prepared. He's ready for the Hammer. But we're going to find out what that alcoholic concoction is here on the island of Nevis here pretty soon. But Ellis is the dive operator that we've been diving with, and we did two dives on the way over. We did this ferry boat that had sunk, in the 70s, right?
Yeah, 1970, August 1st. She sank and took the lives of 233 people, and you had about maybe 90, 91 survivors.
Ouch. Okay, and actually there's some human remains on the boat that you dive around and you can see, and you guys are working to turn this into an underwater memorial type dive or park, right?
Definitely. We want to get it into our first memorial park that we'll have, our first conservation area to start with. And efforts are being made to protect it as much as possible.
Yeah, so it's a really nice wreck dive. Obviously, a lot of history that you can learn about, as it was a traditional ferry that they used to get back and forth from St. Kitts to Nevis. Then our second dive was a site they called the Donut, which was kind of like a round reef structure. And I got to tell you, you know, after being on the liveaboard with Explorer Ventures last week, I mean, the diving there was just amazing. We had great diving in Saba, Astatia, and then we ended up in St. Kitts. But as far as just visibility and a beautiful reef, when it comes to that site we were on the Donut was the best of the best. We had the best fizz I'd seen in a week. And we had nurse sharks, we had lobster, we had a really nice, it was kind of a low-profile structured reef site, but just a lot of stuff going on this thing.
Well, Monkey Shoals, the Donut is on a reef structure we call Monkey Shoal, roughly 5 miles from shore, and because of the location, it tends to have a lot better visibility, right, and good clear water. So, of course, with any dive site, timing is important. But I know Elvin, dive master and dive instructor, actually used the best to try and find the best.
Yes, he did. We're going to talk to him. Him and, what is it, Danielle were the dive masters on the boat? So you got Danielle and Elvin teaming up, right, running the dive chart. They did a pretty good job, don't you think, Neil?
Incredible job. Incredible job.
No, yes, and let's just talk to Alvin right here. Alvin, how did you get into this whole dive master thing? You've been living on Nevis your whole life or what?
Used to live on St. Kitts and used to work for a dive company over there. Moved from St. Kitts, came over to Nevis. My dad introduced me to Ellis, and from since I bought up on him, can't leave.
I got you. Okay, so you were on St. Kitts, so diving between the two islands has just been natural for you, I'm guessing, right?
Right, conch diving, lobster diving for a living, and I realized, you know, better thing seeing them than to be taking them.
Yeah, better to see them than to eat them. Well, wait a minute. Yeah, I like eating them, too, but you got to do it in moderation, I guess. But we're going to talk about more of the dive sites, 40-plus dive sites surrounding the island of Nevis, next on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio. We started producing Scuba Radio in 1997, the same year that Designated Diver Sportwear made its debut at the DEMA show in Anaheim, California. Designated Diver Sportwear has pretty much been our supplier for Scuba Radio tees ever since. It was their commitment to quality and stylish diver designs that caught our attention then and continues to this day. Designated Diver's unique combination of silkscreen printing and embroidery have become the gold standard for those who want to express their divers and are proud of it. So popular, in fact, that many divers around the world now collect them. Of course, over the years, Designated Diver has evolved into more than just diver tees. They were recently acquired by Designated Sports Incorporated, featuring additional lines like Yak Heads for kayaking and paddle enthusiasts, and It's What I Do, the lifestyle line of fun tees that let you express your passion for the sport or activity that you do and enjoy. Go to designatedsports.com to see all the latest styles and put them to work for you and your organization today. No projects too big or too small. That's designatedsports.com. Back broadcasting from Nevis, just across from St. Kitts. I'm literally looking across the water at the island of St. Kitts from the bar, of course, where we are broadcasting here today at Owali Beach Resort. It is, Neil Watson, Undersea Adventures. That's one of the reasons Neil is here checking out the property. He brought around, brought along Anna Lynn, who's been on a few scuba radio adventures in the past in the Bahamas, some of the dive shows. She's actually even set in as a scuba radio mermaid in training at some of the dive shows before. And she's here with us on Nevis. How you doing, Anna Lynn?
Hey, Greg. Hey, everyone.
Great seeing you again. Are you enjoying yourself or what?
Always, when it's you and a beautiful island and great property, wonderful diving. Can't go wrong.
It's good stuff indeed. And now, Anna Lynn, now what is your mission here other than trying this hammer time drink that Ellis was telling us about earlier?
Monkeys.
You want to see monkeys. She wanted the drunken monkeys. Okay, they got monkeys. They have evidently more monkeys here on the island of Nevis than they have people. And Anna Lynn's on a mission to see monkeys. She's seen one. Was that last night at the bar, or was that the one we saw? Yeah.
No, crossing the street, actually, on our way to the hotel.
So why did the monkey cross the road? Do we know?
That is now the new question.
Okay, it's probably to get to the hammer, the drink that they drink here on the island, or the killer bee. We're going to find out what this is all about, but that's some of the topside, color that we plan to delve into on today's show. But, Anna Lynn, now you're actually here, though, to look at some of the properties and be able to, answer questions that divers have when they come or when they're interested in booking a trip to the Caribbean. They call up Neil Watson Undersea Adventures, and Nevis now will be one of the locations that you can send the divers, right?
Correct.
So you're here to kind of do site inspection. That's the technical term of what you're doing, or what?
Right. It's a tough job, but hey. I stepped up and took one for the team.
Took one. We got that in common. She's willing to make those sacrifices to educate you about what diving exists. She's looking out for the accommodations, the hotels, and the properties and that kind of thing. And we're going to get to that next.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network. Your surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Hey guys, this is Wyland, and you're listening to Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Dive in.
And welcome back to the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Thank you, Wyland. This is the kind of place where I'm sure he would love hanging out on the beach, painting one of his murals, and using the inspiration that he sees out here over the bay for one of his next marine masterpieces. Now, You know, one of the things that we did, you know, last week we were on the Explorer Ventures liveaboard, and I got off the boat, synced up with my buddy Neil Watson and his assistant Anna Lynn, and they said, hey, we got a couple properties that we're going to check out here on the island, and then we're going to head over to Nevis. So they picked me up on the boat. We might have had a cocktail in between that transit pull, you know, that transit to from the boat to this hotel. But we ended up at what is Sugar Bay, right, Ellis? Is that was the name of it?
Yeah, that's right. The Sugar Bay Club there on over at Frigate Bay in St. Kitts.
Yeah, Frigate Bay was the place we ended up in between, and that was like an outdoor strip bar, kind of sand on your feet. It was just out of control fun for sure.
Yes, it wasn't a strip bar. It was a bar on the strip.
But I saw some stripping going on, but it wasn't technically, yeah, one of those type of places. But it was definitely the islands, and that's what it's all about, a good place to hang out. I think our mermaid had a little bit too much fun. And as far as I know, she's back home today, or she's locked up in some prison on St. Kitts. But, hey, that's her business, right?
I would think so. I mean, now we're here in Nevis. If she's in St. Kitts, well, fine.
Yeah, that's right. Whatever works. But yeah, so we ended up at Sugar Bay Resort, which is a club that we're working with. You guys are trying to sync up with Neil to do like a two-island experience with St. Kitts and Nevis. Is that the deal?
Yeah, the idea is to give folks a better bang for their buck and be able to dive both islands in one travel shot, you know, stay in one island and perhaps St. Kitts. And then be able to dive from there and also stay on the second island, Nevis, and also do some more diving.
Now, the thing that we did, we went and you know, say if you were flying in like Neil and Anna Lynn, you get off the plane, you head over to Sugar Bay Resort, you hang out there for a night because that's where all the airplanes fly in is to St. Kitts, and then you go diving off of St. Kitts. Now, we actually dove on our way over to Nevis. Is that a typical thing, or did you do that special for us?
Well, that's the plan, really, is to give the whole travel experience and not lose any time diving or lose any dive time, but be able to, you know, move from one island to the other, be able to dive and get to the other destination without any dive time lost.
That's right. You don't need to ferry over. You might as well make it a dive trip, right? So what you do, you come in, you fly into St. Kitts, you stay at Sugar Bay Resort, which is a really nice place. They got a restaurant and a fully equipped little condo. What's that?
Next to a golf course.
Next to a golf, really a nice golf course and just a really nice little resort, really nice pools and stuff. Just a great introduction to the island.
You know, one of the neat things is normally when you do a two-island experience, there's a flight involved. So you have to, you dive a day, you fly, you can't dive and fly. Here, you go to St. Kitts, you dive, you come to Nevis, you dive. I mean, there's no downtime from the diving. I mean, it's 2 miles. It's two completely separate experiences and islands and same country, but totally a different experience, but there's no downtime because you're just on a boat and you're not flying.
Yeah, your ferry is literally a dive trip because you'll get up the next day after you spend a night there in St. Kitts and do the whole Fremont Street thing. I don't know. What was it called again? What was the bar place?
Oh, we went to Ziggy's Bar.
Ziggy's Bar, but that's the name of that area, that beach area.
It's nicknamed the Strip. Basically, it's a strip of bars on a nice secluded beach, which is no longer secluded because it has more bars.
Yeah, well, exactly. All right, well, we got a Dan tip next and then more from Nevis. Stay close.
Do you want to talk diving or tell Greg the Dive Master he's all wet? Then call Scuba Radio now at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
You suck. You have to survive when you're scuba diving 30 feet underwater. The next time you dive, suck air through Oceanic's new Delta 4 regulator with dry valve technology. DVT eliminates moisture, corrosion, and hose deterioration. The Delta 4 also features an FDX10 balanced diaphragm for years of hassle-free diving. So admit it, you suck. And you should be sucking on a Delta 4 by Oceanic.
I'm always the first to run low on air.
I'm adjusting my BCD all the time.
It feels that I spent half my dive swimming back to the dive boat and on the surface.
You can learn to improve your diving so that you can feel more confident with your skills and more comfortable in the water thanks to the Professional Association of Dive Instructors. Peak Performance Buoyancy and the Navigation Specialty Course are just a few of the many PADI offerings to consider. Visit PADI.com to find the PADI Dive Center nearest you. PADI, the way the world learns to dive.
On the line with us is Neil Watson, the depth and distance world record holder for scuba diving. He's also the president of the Bahamas Diving Association. Neil, just what is it about the Bahamas that makes diving there so attractive?
Greg, one of the unique features is our diversity. We're 100,000 square miles, literally 50 miles from the U.S. mainland, whether it's sharks, wrecks, reefs, walls. We have everything that any diver and even a non-diving spouse could ever want for a dive destination.
You can start planning your Bahamas adventure at BahamasDiving.com. The Bahamas, our 700 islands, could change you forever.
Here at Scuba Radio, we've been fans of force fins for years. With over 12 styles and just about every color imaginable, force fins are in a league of their own. Now, they aren't the biggest company out there, just the best. So sometimes force fins are hard to find. That's why we've made the whole line of force fins available on the merchandise page at scubaradio.com. Order yourself a pair today, and they'll be delivered right to your door and be ready for your next dive. That's the merchandise page at scubaradio.com.
Scuba Radio, divers' consumer tip number 112. Despite what you may have seen online, the classic whaling cry, "There she blows," has nothing to do with mermaids.
My mistake!
So now, here's a Dan safety tip you can really use.
And yes, that means it's time for the real Dan Good Diving safety tip. We have Jeff Myers in the studio, who is the COO and Vice President of Training for Divers Alert Network. What's the order of the day, Jeff?
Oxygen, Greg.
An interesting choice.
I hope so. It occurred to me on the way over that we spend a lot of time advocating the use of emergency oxygen and encouraging divers to make sure it's on hand. More and more divers are taking that advice and purchasing their own units, so I thought it might be a good idea to spend some time talking about how to choose an oxygen unit that's right for you.
Sounds like time well spent to me. What's the first thing divers need to know?
Well, the first thing to know is what components are essential to an oxygen unit. Like any other kit, there are ranges available from basic to chock full of bells and whistles, but there are a few standards every unit should contain.
Starting with an oxygen tank, I would imagine.
Wouldn't be much good without it. Every unit should have a dedicated oxygen cylinder, cleaned specifically for that purpose and filled with medical-grade oxygen.
No filling it in the garage, then?
No. And it's important that the cylinder be clearly marked as oxygen and used only for oxygen. In fact, some countries have standard color codes for easy identification.
Given what I've seen around the dive sites and boats, I'm guessing the U.S. is green.
You got it. That's not necessarily to say that the whole tank is green, but there should be green within the color combination to designate it as an oxygen cylinder.
So I imagine if you're traveling outside the U.S., it's a good idea to familiarize yourself with your destination's color code.
That's a great point and good advice.
So I'm thinking another key component is a regulator?
Yep. The oxygen does good only if it leaves the tank.
Well, what do we need to know?
Well, the regulator in an oxygen unit performs the same function as any other regulator. Its job is to reduce the cylinder pressure to compatible working pressure. When it comes to oxygen delivery, there are three basic choices in regulators: constant flow, demand, and multifunction.
Well, what's the difference?
A constant flow regulator is pretty self-explanatory. It delivers the oxygen in a constant, unbroken stream, regardless of what rate the recipient breathes. The demand regulator functions like a standard scuba regulator. It delivers the oxygen only when the demand valve is activated.
You mean when the diver breathes?
Yep.
And the multifunction regulator?
That's the best of both worlds. It combines the features of the constant flow and demand regulators. It gives you options and allows you to provide oxygen in whatever manner best fits the situation. It's also the option that gives you the ability to provide 100% oxygen to more than one diver, and it works with a multitude of masks.
Multifunction regulators are what's included with the Dan oxygen units, right?
Yeah, they're our preference. We chose multifunction regulators for our kits because we wanted to provide the option that served as many divers and as many situations as possible. But whichever way you go, just make sure your regulator is suited specifically to oxygen cylinders. It includes a flow valve that allows you to set and adjust the oxygen flow.
You mentioned masks before. Are they considered a key component?
Sure. Masks are important. They play a role in determining how much oxygen is delivered. An oral nasal mask can deliver up to 100% oxygen if you use it with a demand valve, while constant flow masks may deliver somewhere between 35 and 75%. When you're choosing an oxygen unit to have in case of emergency, Consider one that contains more than one kind of mask to ensure you've got what you need for any given situation.
More than one mask also means you're prepared to assist more than one diver, too.
Another good point.
Is there anything else that's considered crucial?
Well, obviously, you'll need to ensure you have a hose as part of the delivery system.
Well, obviously. So let's assume that we're looking at a variety of kits, all of which have the necessary key components. How do you know which one to choose? I mean, they come in a variety of shapes and sizes, don't they?
Yes, they do. But there are a few questions that will guide you to the choice that's right for you.
Such as?
Such as, how far are you from EMS? Many emergency response teams do have oxygen equipment, but you'll need to provide the supply until you can reach them. Are you 10 minutes away, an hour, two? If you know the answer to that question, you can answer what size cylinder you'll need the unit to contain.
How much time can a cylinder cover?
That depends on the size of the cylinder and the way the oxygen is delivered. For example, the M9 cylinder found in our smaller unit delivers an average of 20 minutes, whereas the Jumbo D in the larger ones averages 40 minutes to an hour. Of course, how long any given cylinder lasts depends on whether the oxygen is delivered as a constant flow or with a demand valve, and how comfortable or agitated the diver is.
Well, I'm guessing the demand approach lasts longer?
Sure. It's no different than a standard scuba tank. If you just open the valve and let the air flow out, it's not going to last as long as it does when the air is released only on demand. So naturally, if you have a diver that is able to breathe oxygen on a demand valve, the supply of oxygen will last longer than a constant flow.
Well, what else do you need to consider?
How many divers will be dependent on the unit? Do you need to be prepared to deliver oxygen to more than one diver at a time? If so, you need to make sure you have a system in place that can accomplish that.
What about the case that contains the unit?
You definitely need to consider that. Will your case be exposed to the elements? Will it need to be protected from movement and the abuse it might take on a dive site? Does it need to be waterproof or simply water resistant? You want to ensure your oxygen unit is sufficiently protected so that its contents will be ready to go in the event you need them.
Anything else?
Just one more thing. Will you be traveling with your oxygen unit? Will you have to worry about airline restrictions on cylinders with attached valves?
And if the answer is yes, and the airlines won't let me travel with it?
There are actually oxygen units available without cylinders.
But you said the cylinder is the key component.
And it is, but in the case of traveling, the cylinder is a component you may have to meet on site, since you can't fly with sealed cylinders, and you can't remove an oxygen valve without having to have the tank cleaned prior to filling it. The travel version of the oxygen unit contains all the components except the cylinder, so you can travel with everything you need. A cylinder-free unit simply requires the extra preparation of ensuring the cylinder will be waiting for you when you arrive. And of course, you'll want to make sure your travel kit is compatible with the waiting cylinder, so make sure you have any adapters you'll need, especially if you're traveling to a foreign country.
Now, is there any other scenario where you might purchase an oxygen unit without a cylinder?
Only if your unit will be used with a non-portable or fixed cylinder. Those are generally used for remote situations, so unless that's the case or you're traveling by air, you're going to want to ensure your oxygen unit includes a cylinder.
Sounds like we've got all the information we need to make a smart purchasing decision. Is there anything else we need to know?
Just one thing. Oxygen units are sold with empty cylinders, and you will need to provide proof of training in order to get it filled. So make sure to include the completion of an oxygen provider course as part of your purchase plan.
Dan has an oxygen course, doesn't it?
Yeah, we can help with that.
The world is going green these days, but when it comes to diving, green means oxygen. And having oxygen on hand for use in emergencies is as important as any green initiative out there. So when you're going through your dive prep checklist, make sure you know where the oxygen will flow. Do that, and you're guaranteed damn good diving.
That was beautiful.
Only you can prevent diving accidents. Divers Alert Network is your dive safety organization. With your support, Dan will continue to provide the research, service, and benefits to make your next dive a safe dive. So don't be a dinghy. Join Dan today by calling 1-800-446-2671.
Hey, more coming up from Nevis. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
For over 20 years, Explorer Ventures has been taking people just like you aboard their liveaboard dive vessels. You start as a guest and leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explorer Ventures, and just maybe why Explorer Ventures is one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry.
Of course, they offer spectacular diving in the Bahamas, Turks and Caicos, and Galapagos. All the details are right there at exploreventures.com. But it's the people and the friendships one makes on these adventures that really sets Explore Ventures apart from the rest. That's why for the second year in a row, we have made Explore Ventures the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. We're doing 4 weeks on board ourselves this year, and you're welcome to join us on any of these special adventures. However, the bottom line is, Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. Call them and see for yourself at 1-800-322-3577 or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Hi, I'm Manny. I'm your dive master lead in Agua Cat, and you hear Scuba Radio.
Yeah, wait, you're the lead dive master on the Agua Cat? What are you?
Yes, sir. I'm the lead dive master.
Okay, do it again. One more time.
You kidding?
No.
Okay, guys, I'm Manny. I'm your dive master lead in Agua Cat, and you hear Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
The what? Okay. Hi, guys. I'm Manny. I'm a dive instructor in Agua Cat, and you're listening to Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to
diving. The world's first radio show
devoted to
dive. You kidding? Five or what? You did it, translate.
Translate.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Right. I can do it slow.
Okay, do it slow. Yeah.
The world's first
radio
show
devoted
to diving.
Devoted to diving.
For the Spanish speakers, la mejor radio estación de radio devota de lo que es el buceo.
Well, thank you, Manny. I mean, matter of fact, that last trip from the Agua Cat, I believe that might have been the last time me and Neil Watson were diving together. You think, Neil, have we been in the water together since?
Yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Yesterday here in Nevis.
That's it.
That goes back to that whole hammer time thing.
That's right. You know, I thought I just had this problem, but, you know, Greg, you've reached the age you can hide your own Easter eggs. Man, this is scary.
Yes, well, after doing this show for 12 years, maybe the gas is trying to, it's just pretty locked into my brain. I don't know. Might have burned a brain cell too many. Hanging with Neil Watson, that is my issue right there. Now, we're at the Owali Beach Resort on Nevis. Anna Lynn is here. She's doing a site inspection of the hotel rooms. Now, obviously, I've been in mine. I love this place. What do you think, Anna Lynn, as far as the accommodations here at this particular resort?
Well, I think everything in general, this destination is so convenient. I mean, like you guys said, we went from one hotel straight to a dive site. All of our luggage was already brought into our rooms. Like, they really take care of you here. It's basically probably a diver's dream. The convenience of everything, the location is prime. Walk out of your room, which has all the amenities that you can look for as a diver.
Right on the beach. You got your own little closed, balcony, the whole thing, four-poster beds, huge rooms. I mean, it's really, really nice accommodations. Yeah, they got Wi-Fi here in the bar. So, you know, you can surf porn and still be on vacation. God knows that's a great combination. Right, Neil?
I'm more into performing porn.
Okay, you're more into making your own videos as opposed to watching them on the internet. But hey, to each his own. Look, we got another hour of Scuba Radio to come here from Nevis. Stay close. We'll talk about more of the accommodations and more of the dive sites. 40-plus dive sites surrounding the island. You'll hear about them at hour two of the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio. This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know, what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.